To greet you in the name of Christ this morning. I enjoyed that worship time today. I would say that the worship time was convicting for me. Spending time to be quiet before the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I preached a message entitled Lessons from Isaiah, chapters 29 to 32, and I'd like to do just a little more with Isaiah today, and I really don't have a sermon today. I just want to lift out parts of Isaiah that is repeated in the New Testament, just with a goal of having us, several goals, of having us recognize the value of Scripture. I think I shared this last time, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And of course, when Paul wrote that to Timothy, he really only had the Old Testament Scriptures, but for us New Testament believers, we have all of New and Old, and it's all profitable. And I do want to reiterate that, as I've said here before, that we don't view the Old and New as equal, as a flat book. We view the Old from the lens of the New Testament. We see from the Old Testament, we see to the Old and looking back. So there's value, and we interpret it, the Old, in the light of the New. Jesus fulfilled the law. God's moral law continues. And so there are parts of the Old that has been fulfilled, the Mosaic Law, as we've been in our Sunday school lesson. But there is obviously, according to this scripture, according to Paul, there is much to learn from the Old. Isaiah is referred to 85 times in the New Testament. Not always quoted, but referred to. And I'd like to lift some of that out today. And before I get into that, there's just a couple comments I would like to make when we look at the Old and apply it to the New. Remember that we have to consider context. And this was brought again to my mind Wednesday evening, and towards the end of Rick Rhodes' message, he quoted from Jeremiah 29:11, New International, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This was God speaking to the nation of Judah, to the people of Israel, and the King James used the word thoughts instead of plans. I know what I'm thinking about you. And this is often quoted for us today, and Rick Rhodes did so Wednesday evening as well, in the message that we had. But I think he didn't take it out. I think we can apply it for today. But remember that some of those were specific promises made to specific people. And you can't just take an Old Testament statement and say, that's mine. You have to be careful with that. And especially, of course, when it's repeated in the New, we can. And this is one example, Joshua 31:9, Lord speaking to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Hebrew writer repeats that in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here the Hebrew writer is quoting what God said to Joshua. And we know that when we compare Scripture with Scripture, that it was a very right thing for the Hebrew writer to do. And of course it was, because he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But as we consider Isaiah writing 700 years before Christ, and we see especially the messianic verses, that should deepen our faith in the Word of God. When we see prophecy fulfilled. So I'd like to remind you of that. I have color-coded these today. Jesus is in red, Peter's in brown, Paul in Hebrews, which might be the same, in green, Revelation in purple, and messianic in dark purple. And I will go through them in sections. I had them all mixed up to start with, and then I spent a couple hours and put them back together in sections. So I'd like to just go through these, and I'd just like for you to consider the beauty of God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and then New Testament writers picking it up sometimes. And all the verses are going to be in the New King James. One thing I like about it is that modern translation puts in quotation marks where your King James does not. Puts in quotation marks, and so you can tell. Whenever you see quotation marks in the New Testament, you know that he's quoting something from the Old. So, Lord's got, and I'm going through Isaiah from beginning to end in sections. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. Now, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the people of the day. But Jesus picks it up, and all four Gospels quote Isaiah. And I'll read the one from John chapter 12, verse 40. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So the condition of Israel 700 years before Christ was the same when Jesus walked this earth. Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. What was prophet Isaiah speaking about? What was God saying through the prophet Isaiah? Look at what Jesus quotes. He quotes it in Matthew 24, recorded in Matthew 24, when he's talking about end times. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So obviously when Isaiah was prophesying this, he was looking at a very future time. And Jesus quotes him. Isaiah 29, verse 13, therefore the Lord says, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. I believe this was the condition in Isaiah's day. Jesus picks it up. Matthew 15, verse 7, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus says in John 12, verse 37, but although, this is introduction, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. He's talking about Jesus, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the Apostle Paul also quotes him in Romans 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, speaking about the nation of Israel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Isaiah 56, 7, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And I really believe that he was talking about the temple. Well, he was speaking about the temple. And then all the three synoptic gospels pick it up when Jesus says, and I'll read from Mark 11, 17, then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. Isaiah 61, 1, probably a very, very familiar one with most of us. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn. And I really believe that as God was speaking through Isaiah, this was a messianic prophecy of Jesus to come. And of course, Jesus says that, recorded in Luke 4, verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's now in his hometown, in his home synagogue. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he goes on to say, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. And so, prophecy that was 700 years before is being fulfilled this day in a synagogue in Nazareth. Isaiah 66, verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. This one, folks, I was actually surprised about. I did not remember that this was in the Old Testament. Mark 9, verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never quench, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And he repeats that three times, of course. Again, notice the quotation marks. Jesus is actually picking up a Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah. Peter quotes Isaiah some. Isaiah 9, 8, verse 12, do not say a conspiracy. And again, this is God speaking to Isaiah concerning all that these people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. God is assuring Isaiah. And Peter picks it up, 1 Peter 3, 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Again, I believe this is a messianic prophecy about Jesus. 1 Peter 2, verse 6, therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. And Paul also quotes it in Romans 9, verse 33, as is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now we'll see, I think in Romans chapter 9, if I remember right, he quotes Old Testament about 12 times in Romans chapter 9. Peter says this, well, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 53:6, hey, all we like sheep have gone astray. Peter repeats it. 1 Peter 2:25a, for we're all like sheep going astray. Isaiah 34, verse 4, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree. Again, this is one of those prophecies where Isaiah is looking into the distant future, or God is showing him things in the distant future. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, talking about the end times, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And John the Revelator records this in Revelation 6, 13 and 14. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. He saw this. As a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. I just like the beauty that Isaiah had already saw this picture, and John the Revelator is showing this picture again, 800 years later. Isaiah 65, verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And John the Revelator saw this again. Revelation 21:1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We have Stephen has one quote from Isaiah in his sermon on the day that he was to be stoned. Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all these things, those things exist, says the Lord. And then as Stephen is preaching a sermon there, he says, as recorded in Acts 7, verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? One thing that impresses me is that obviously, here is Stephen. He was familiar with Scripture. He was familiar with it. If you would be about to be stoned and you're preaching a sermon, how much could you remember from Scripture? We'll go to Paul in Hebrews now, and Paul, of course, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he quotes extensively from Isaiah as well as other prophets, and I did not put them all in here, but I put in a lot of them. Isaiah 1, verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Romans 9, 29. Again, Romans 9 records a lot from the Old Testament. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us the seed, we would have become like Sodom. We would be made like Gomorrah, talking about the condition of Israel. Isaiah 8, 14. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and as a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Obviously, talking about Jesus, Paul picks it up, Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Isaiah 8:18, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Hebrews 2:13, and again, I will put my trust in him. I don't have that quote from the Old Testament, but this one. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. And I do not have the context of that quote in mind. Can't tell you what the context is at the moment. Isaiah 10, verse 22. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. That's after their exile. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. And Paul picks it up in Romans 9 again, verse 27. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make short work upon the earth. And so what was true in Isaiah's day, he was pronouncing that a remnant would return from Babylon 100 years down the road, whatever it was at this point. Paul picks it up and is talking about the present day Israel, that a remnant will be saved. Not all were turning to Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Obviously talking about Jesus Christ. Romans 15, 12, and again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in whom the Gentiles shall hope. Again, Paul is making an argument for the Gentiles here. And he picks it up from Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verse 4. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And because of Paul's quote here, I'm trying to replace this. It would seem to be in end times. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Isaiah 25, verse 8, he will swallow up death forever. Did you know that was in Isaiah? And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it might be that Isaiah was speaking about the return of exile, but definitely about a future time, because Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then John the Revelator picks up this from part of Isaiah, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isaiah saw that 800 years earlier. Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Isaiah 29, verse 10. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. And Paul picks it up. Romans 11, verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. Again, talking about the condition of present-day Israel in his day. Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 1:19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And if I would have lots of time, I would give you context, but we need to keep going. Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. This was another one that I did not realize came from Isaiah. Hebrews 12:12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Isaiah 45, verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Isaiah 49, verse 6, indeed he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as of a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. I believe the context is obviously talking about Christ, my servant, but he might also be giving you a message here to Isaiah for his day. Acts 13, verse 47, Paul picks it up. For as the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. What's interesting about this is, Paul quoting this, he's talking here about himself. You notice that? I have set you as a light to the Gentiles. And he's picking up from Isaiah, talking about himself, not for salvation, but as a light. The salvation, of course, was Christ. Isaiah 49:8a, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. 2 Corinthians 6:2a, for he says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Talking about Israel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Gospel writer of John also quotes this, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And John, for context, is talking about Israel as a nation rejecting Jesus. Isaiah 57, verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him who is afar off, and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Ephesians 2:17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, Gentiles, and to who you were near, Jews. Isaiah 59, verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Paul picks it up, Romans 3, verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Again, I believe perhaps Isaiah was speaking about his people in that day, and Paul repeats it for his people in his day. Isaiah 59, verse 20. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Romans 11:26, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. An interesting verse with endless discussion. Isaiah 59, verse 21, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. And this is Isaiah talking about a future time. Paul, or whoever, the Hebrew writers, picks it up, Hebrews 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Talking about the new covenant. And Isaiah referred to the new covenant. Isaiah 64, verse 4, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. And Paul quotes it in a slightly different context, perhaps in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who loved him. He was able to use that for his purposes. Isaiah 65, verse 1, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am. To a nation that was not called by my name, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not a good according to their own thoughts. And Paul picks it up, Romans 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was manifest to those who do not ask for me. And I think he's talking about the Gentiles here. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. The book of Revelation, we've already saw a few from the book of Revelation. There's a few others I'd like to lift out that John the Revelator quotes. Isaiah 21, verse 9, and look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. Then he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. All the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. Now, for context, Babylon is the nation that is going to, that's the nation from the north. And you read about Isaiah. There's a country coming from the north. You read that all the time in Isaiah. He's referring to Babylon that's going to come and conquer you. All right? But he's also seeing beyond them coming and seeing Babylon being destroyed. And of course, John the Revelator picks it up when he says, another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So John the Revelator is seeing a picture that relates to the old Babylon to whatever the future Babylon or the present Babylon, as it may be, is. Isaiah 22:22, the house of the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. Obviously, a messianic prophecy about Christ. Revelation 3, verse 7, Christ says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. And here he quotes, he who opens up and no one shuts and no one opens. Jesus speaking about himself, and he quotes from Isaiah. Isaiah 49, verse 10, they shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. Revelation 7, 16, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore, the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Quoting from Isaiah, but of course, God had shown John this picture again. Isaiah 51, 1. 55, 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy milk, wine and milk without money and without price. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he, let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. And Isaiah 63, verse 2. This is an interesting one. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. This is God. And from the people no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. And John the Revelator saw this in Revelation 19:13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. I just find it interesting how often Isaiah, whose God is speaking to him and saying things to him that repeated by John the Revelator 800 years later. Messianic prophecies from Isaiah. I'd like to wrap up with this section. We've already noticed many of them, but these are special ones, not necessarily repeated in Scripture and New Testament, but important to note. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The gospel writer of Matthew says in Matthew 1, verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Folks, this was prophesied 700 years before it happened, and it came to pass. Is the Word of God the Word of God? Yes, it is. Isaiah 9, verse 1. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Matthew 4, 14, talking about Jesus, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. Isaiah 35, verse 4, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Obviously, a messianic prophecy of Christ, Matthew 11, verse 5, and it's in quotation marks. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway of our God, for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And Luke records this in Luke 3, verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And of course, the voice was initially the voice of John the Baptist, and then the voice of Christ himself. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Jesus himself says, that's me, John 2, verse 11. It's in quotations mark, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant who I have uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. A messianic prophecy. Matthew 12, verse 17, that it might be filled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit on him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And that's exactly what happened, as recorded in Matthew 26, 67. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. And then I'd like to wrap up with Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is a scripture that I'm told that Jews don't know what to do with, because it is so closely aligns with Christ. And of course, if you'll Google it, and go ahead and Google it, you'll find writers that say, oh, he did not. This was not speaking about Jesus Christ. But I have at least three things in this scripture underlined that fits perfectly with Christ. So we'll wrap up with Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. Jesus Christ was rejected by the nation of Israel as a whole. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And I believe last spring in our communion, I brought that out, that you read that as Jesus was before his accusers. He didn't say a word, and Pilate marveled. But it was prophesied, and he did exactly that. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. But he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. He was buried in a rich man's grave. Yes, he was. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It can only be speaking about Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the Christ, with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, And he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah, on the inspiration of God, God's Holy Spirit, wrote these words, obviously speaking about Jesus Christ. Is the Bible the Word of God, folks? Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. Let's make it a part of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, as we consider the scriptures that have been preserved for us, that you have preserved for us, miraculously in many instances, and as we can read prophecy and see prophecy fulfilled, we can put our trust deeply into you, the author of the Holy Scriptures. And God, I would pray that as we think about prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, that we would prepare our hearts for the things that are yet to come. Would you go with us? Would you strengthen us? Would you walk with us? May we hear your voice, and may we be your arms and your feet and your mouthpiece to the world around us. Lord, bring glory to yourself. You are God. We worship you. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.